I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. Turn with me to this third chapter of the book of Malachi, to the verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Last Lord's Day morning, we were looking at this text, and we found out that there's seven great things in this text. First of all, there is paying. Bring ye all the tithes. Then there's preparing into the storehouse. And then there is a providing, that there may be meat in my house. And then there is proving, prove me now. And then there is prophesying, herewith saith the Lord of hosts. And then there is prefiguring, opening the windows of heaven. And then there is lastly pouring out a blessing. I want to deal with the latter part, which I wasn't able to deal with last Lord's Day morning because of the shortage of time. I'm sure you have noticed, as I have read part of this prophecy, that there is a repetition in this prophecy of the Lord as the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. Look with me at verse 1. And it says that the Lord of hosts is going to send his messenger before he himself comes. Behold, he shall come, this messenger, saith the Lord of hosts. An interesting study in the Bible is the preparations which God makes in the carrying out of his purposes and of his eternal will. And here we have the prophecy of John the Baptist, the New Testament Elijah, and before Christ himself came, incarnate in the flesh, God the Son, God sent a messenger before him. The Lord of hosts sent a messenger before him. Then if you come down the chapter to the verse 5, you will find here a word of judgment, and it is spoken by the Lord of hosts And fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. God sending his messenger. But when the messenger arrives, the same Lord of hosts that sent that messenger says, ye fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. I wonder, as God examines our hearts and puts us under his searchlight, I wonder, has he to say to us, they do not fear me, for if they feared me, they would be avoiding wickedness, avoiding sinfulness, avoiding worldliness. But the fact that they revel in their sinfulness and worldliness and ungodliness proves they fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. But then come to verse 7, and the title the Lord of hosts is repeated again. Even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from my ordinance and have not kept them. Ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. In spite of man's rebellion, and in spite of our wickedness, in closing our ears and our hearts to his eternal word, God says, return unto me. Go back to where you ought to be and start again. And he said, I will return unto you. God is always gracious. God is always forgiving. God is always kind. And God is always loving. And he's saying to his people today, in an age and a world that's out of gear, in an age that is sinful and filled with wickedness, and hopelessness and helplessness, he's saying, there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that stands open that all may go in. At Calvary's cross, that's where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. Could I ask you today, have you begun the work of walking in the ways of God? But then, when we go down to verse 4, you have my text here, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. You have been robbing me of my dues. But I'm asking you now to bring in the tithes, that my house will not be a house of hunger, but a house of plenty. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. The God that calls him, himself the Lord of hosts in verse 1, when he talks about that special messenger, the one who's going to blaze the trail for Christ himself. And then we come down to the one who looks down, and he sees that man is not walking in his fear, but is actually walking in rebellion against him. And then there's the overtures of mercy. I'm glad today that God is making overtures of mercy to this world of ours. And overtures of mercy to the people of our lands. If he was quick to mark iniquity, who would stand? Not one. But God is saying to us, return to me. In the New Testament, we saw to the Laodicean church, he said to them, return. Return to your first love. God is looking for a returning people. And as the Puritan said, oh, when the prodigal was returning, the eye of the Father saw him. Of all the things the Father's eye could see, he didn't not sadly saw anything, but he saw a returning prodigal. God's eye is upon you. And upon me. And he's looking for that return to dedication, that return to prayer, that return to testimony, that return to purity, that return to holiness. And so he says, I want you to bring your payments that you owe back to the treasury of God. I want you to prove me now. I have reproved you, but you can prove me. The tables can be turned, and you can prove me when next week, next month, next year. No, you can prove me now. Herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. The blessings are available now. The power of God is available now. The blessing of God is available now. Now as they accept the time, now is the day of salvation. But then we come to verse 11. And God says, I will take action. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Why should I do that? You have no claim on me. I have a claim on you. I'm your maker. But I take to myself this vow that I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord. I'm going to deal with the very laws of nature. I'm going to reverse them for your sake. Oh, what God wouldn't do for his people. He will do everything that they need. He will do everything that they need. There's no reckoning with God as far as his liberality is concerned. When God blesses, he blesses abundantly. When God pours out a blessing, there's not room enough to receive it. In revival prayer meetings, I've heard men pray. I remember attending a meeting for a night of prayer with W.P. Nicholson over there in Donegal Avenue. And I remember us all praying and pouring out our hearts. And my, how the blessings came. And how the old chains that held us to respectability were broken. And how that prayer meeting became a fire that burned up every trace of sin, that brought the light and glory in. The revelation had begun, and we all said, "Send the fire." And how the fire warmed our hearts and our souls and our minds. And how in private life after that meeting, the fire continued to burn in our love for the lost and their perishing. In this text, he tells us that he'll reverse the deadness, the coldness, the isolation. He'll change the laws of nature to deliver his people. He will add miracle to miracle, joy to joy, victory to victory. And all the nations, ungodly, pagan, wicked, sinful, hellish nations will do something. They shall say they are the blessed people. They're the blessed people. Think of that. The world of sinners lining up and pointing to the church and saying they are a blessed people. That's a reversal. That is revival. That is what only God can do. It is no secret what God can do. And that's what he wants to do in my life and in your life and in the life of the church today. We're not living in a present age. The hateful uncovering of the sins of men are many. But oh, thank God, God can reverse the whole situation. God can put his hand on the gear stick today and he can turn the whole situation, change it by his word. Do you believe it? Do you believe God is able for the situation? The world never gets out of the hand of God. Oh, they may rebel, they may kick, they may lie, they may deceive, they may pour out their enmity and their rebellion, but God is still on the throne. He rules in the power of his endless life. But come down a bit farther. All nations shall call you blessed. For ye shall be a delightsome land, saith, notice it, the Lord of hosts. There is the Lord of hosts again. The Lord of hosts. In the French Bibles, that title is very special. The Eternal of the Armies of Heaven. That's who he is, the Lord of hosts. He's the Eternal of the Armies of Heaven. Open the young man's eyes, said the old prophet. And here was a young man just matriculated into the college of Elias. And he didn't know very much. And he cried out as he saw the armies of the enemies all around the city. And the old bearded prophet looks at him, and he says, open his eyes. And God opened his eyes, and you know what he saw? He saw the very clouds around were filled with the horsemen of heaven. Greater is he that is with you than he that is in all the earth. Ye shall be a delightful lamb, as saith the Lord, because the Lord will change all the circumstances, and he will do it in his way, in the miracle of his power. And then we have the whiners. They're still there. There'll always be whiners in the church. There'll always be whiners living in your street. Maybe you're a whiner yourself and belong to that company. But let me tell you this, that even with the whiners, we read about those that have kept his ordinance and have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. One of the Puritans said, we need to have a very wet time when we pray, for until the tears flow, our hearts will not move towards the God of our salvation. And we are called to mourn the sins of our day. And we are called to rebuke those who call the proud happy, and those that work iniquity and set themselves up to tempt the God of heaven. It is our job before God to give ourselves entirely to the Lord of hosts. But then come down to verse 16. And you find here a great conference. The people of God speak one to another. We live in a day when the television is filled with the rattles of the rattlesnakes of people communicating with themselves, all the evil that they can think upon. But there is another program when the godly of the earth speak often one to another. There are some people I like to meet. There's other people I don't like to meet. I have to be perfectly honest. And some people, when I see them coming, I make myself scarce as quickly as I can. But there's some people I would go 100 or 200 miles to sit down with and pray with. For they bring you into touch with heaven. They bring you into touch to their last reading of the Bible, and they say, Ian, did you ever look at this? And the word lightens up. And we're blessed. They speak often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And God was so pleased, he wrote a book about it. People like to see books written about themselves. I wonder what that book in heaven about you is like. Wouldn't you like to have a look at it and hear what God thinks of your biography? Wouldn't you? Here were people that the Lord wrote in a book of remembrance. God put it in the record. I think it'll be wonderful when we get into the greatest library in the world, and that's heaven's library. There's a great library in heaven. And all these books of remembrance will be there. It's no wonder we have to live forever and ever and ever because we'll have some reading to do. I'm sure these books will be like God's book. Everything that was bad is on record, but over it are the words, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansed us from all sin." Oh, the happiness that the bad is covered and cleansed, and the good is elevated for the blessing of the whole church of Christ. But what about this last great Lord of hosts? "They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts." They shall be mine. The greatest and most memorable part of our eternity will be when we enter Emmanuel's land and when the Lord says, "Thou shalt be mine." Not for the years of time alone, but for all eternity. If you are a child of God, I trust that you will enter into the joy and the rebuke of these great repetitions that are here concerning the Lord of hosts. If you've never met the Savior, and your feet are on the highway to hell and death and judgment, and a lost soul, turn while the Spirit in mercy is pleading. Steer for the harbor bright. For how do you know? But your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight. Call upon the name of the Lord, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thine own precious word. Write it upon our hearts. And as we go or come this day, may we live in the enjoyment of your word and the safety that it brings to our soul and the joy that it creates in our hearts and the vision that it gives us of a new day when we shall stand before the throne. Not because of anything we have ever done, but because of what Jesus did for me at dark Calvary. There, Lord Jesus, you were wounded for my transgressions. There you were bruised for my iniquities, and the chastisement of my peace was laid on thee, and by thy stripes I am healed. May no one leave this house of God today without that message in their hearts. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen.